Hello again, everybody. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney, heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. As you know, I'm with the law firm Littman Crooks, and this week we've got Steve Ahrens from Northwestern Mutual as our guest. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Bernie. I appreciate you having me here.
And Steve's a repeat offender, right?
Yes, this is the second time.
This is great. And Steve, you're with Northwestern Mutual. Tell us a little bit about Northwestern Mutual and about whether or not all insurance companies are the same.
Well, Northwestern Mutual, interestingly, has been around for 150 years, which is really unbelievable when you think about it. It's one of the few remaining mutual insurance companies, which means that it's owned by its policyholders, and whatever the profits of the company are, they go back to the policyholders as dividends, and it also receives the highest ratings from all four of the major financial rating agencies. So it's really a terrific company. And one of the things that you find is that all insurance companies are not the same.
So let me ask you a couple of points here. Mutual company versus stockholder owned, does that mean they're not out to make a profit?
Well, they are out to make a profit, but that profit gets redistributed back to its policyholders as dividends. Really, the business is in business to provide enough assets on hand to pay claims that may occur, but any excess would go back to policyholders as dividends, whereby a stock company is really in business to enrich its stockholders, and as we've all seen in recent days with what's going on in Wall Street, to enrich management, not necessarily a concern about policyholders.
So the stockholders may not be the same people as the insurance policyholders, whereas in Northwestern Mutual they are.
That is correct.
So even if there is a profit, let's say in a particular year, not a lot of people die, so they're not paying a lot of claims. In effect, I know this is oversimplifying it, but they might pay extra dividends to the people who own the policies.
That's right. In fact, interesting, last year Northwestern Mutual paid over $5 billion in dividends, which was over twice the amount of all the other insurance companies in the world combined. So imagine that. That's what was returned as profits and dividends to the policyholders.
Right. Now, it always strikes me as when something's too good to be true, it probably is. Why aren't all companies mutual companies as opposed to stock companies?
Well, some companies run into trouble along the way and need to raise capital, in which case they may go public and become a public company. Then, of course, you're beholden to your stockholders, which are, in fact, the owners of the company. So usually it's difficult for a company to generate enough capital on its own, which is why most companies become public companies. Also, management in many cases is looking to provide more compensation for itself, and one of the ways to do that is also through going public and raising capital that way.
And getting stock options and all the
exactly.
All the fun stuff that right. The people on Wall Street get.
That we don't.
Well, look, and that brings me to my next question. I believe we're in a noble profession.
Yes.
Helping people, and especially helping people with kids with special needs. And I know you've been in this field for several years now. Tell us how you got into it and what attracted you to this area.
Well, actually, I've been in this field for many, many years, and I started in this field because I happen to be fortunate enough to have twin daughters who are now 15. They were actually in vitro twins, and Elizabeth, my special needs daughter, was 1.5 pounds at birth, and she has a whole host of special needs. She has speech apraxia, some learning disabilities, as well as some social issues. So as she's grown, and I've been dealing with many of the issues that most families have to deal with when they have children with special needs, I realized the need in the marketplace to try to help people in positions similar to mine in terms of their planning. And what I've found is that there are so many issues that we as special needs parents are dealing with that if planning for the future can be taken away from a daily worry, then it can really significantly impact these families' lives. So I just feel very passionate that I can really help people, and that's what I do.
Steve, you highlight a very interesting point. It's our experience in talking to clients and the feedback that we receive that they are so overwhelmed with the day-to-day of raising the children, whether it's special needs child or otherwise, that they don't have time to focus on what would happen if I'm not here, what's going to happen 10 years from now, am I going to have enough money to pay for education, and what happens if I pass away early. So I think that, you know, someone like yourself who can really get people to focus on this really does provide a fabulous service, and that leads me to ask you, how do you get people to focus on something that could be 10, 20, 30, 40 years away? I mean, you could have parents in their 30s, and they're going to say, well, I'm not going to be dead for 50 years. Why should I care about this now?
Well, uncertainty about the future is definitely one of the problems in getting people to act with a plan on a current basis. However, what I've found is that there are many different things that can be put into place now, especially if you have younger children, that will ultimately provide significant benefit in the future. And one of the things we try to do is craft plans that have lots of flexibility. When I'm sitting with somebody who has an autistic child who's 7 years old, it's very difficult to sit there and imagine how that child will be in 10, 15, 20 years. Will that child be a productive member of society? Will that child be able to earn a living? So the key for me is to help put together a plan that will have many different future options for this family. The child could benefit if it should need to benefit. But on the other hand, if the child does terrifically well, becomes a productive member of society, the plan would also work in other directions that could possibly benefit the parents. So flexibility is a key to the planning going forward.
All right, so it would be unfair to say you're just going to go into a situation and sell the insurance. You're about providing solutions.
Absolutely. And insurance may or may not be a solution. It really depends on the situation of each individual family.
What are some of the common excuses or reasons you hear from families as to why they don't want to buy insurance or why they don't think they need it? What do they say?
Well, of course, some people just don't want to spend the money just for insurance, and they want to put off the inevitable. When you're buying insurance, and in many cases we're talking about life insurance, disability insurance, long-term care insurance, people have to deal with these issues that are not very pleasant. So I think there's just a human reluctance to want to ever have to deal with any of these potential issues that ultimately may affect them, but hopefully won't affect them, at least in the near future. So that certainly, I think, creates a reluctance. And again, I think we come back to the pressures of day-to-day life, the meeting with the school board to discuss different benefits that we can give to the child, or the meeting with the doctor in terms of changing medications, or the meeting after school with a social group to try to build a child's social skills, or the special tutoring. There is just so much that's going on in the lives of these children that I think parents just want to push this off and deal with it later.
So what do you do to get them to recognize the importance of taking action now and not just talking about it? I mean, it must be difficult. You spend your professional life talking to people about things they don't want to talk about.
Right.
And yet you're only going to be successful if you can connect with them. So how do you bring it home? Do you tell them stories about families who neglected to do it and then there was a horror story? What do you do?
I tell them stories that I've experienced, stories that have happened to me in my life. I tell them stories about planning successes that I've had over the years. I try to lay out their situation in terms of understanding their needs and make it as painless as possible in terms of putting together a plan which really will work to benefit their child, but also has a lot of flexibility. And what I find with most families is by not planning. And planning also is encompassing putting together a current will, setting up supplemental needs, trust, determining who the guardian should be for your child if, God forbid, something were to happen to them. But what I find is that when the planning is done, that there is a tremendous amount of peace of mind that is created. And people worry. It's not like they're neglecting it and forgetting about it. They're neglecting it and it hangs over them. So I come in, make it very simple for them, and this is a tremendous burden, a tremendous relief that is created once I'm done, and of course once you're done as well.
Well, we work together as a team.
Right.
And I think that brings an important point. When you're dealing with these types of cases, it's critical, isn't it, that the client and the family surround themselves with a teamwork, with a team of professionals?
Absolutely. And I would highly recommend that whenever you're involved with any issues regarding special needs children, that you work with professionals who specialize in this area. And most of the professionals I've found in the special needs arena are people who have, in fact, children, as I do, with special needs. So these professionals typically understand exactly what you as the client are experiencing, and one of the things I always do with people that I work is I lay out my plan. I lay out what I've done from a legal standpoint in terms of my wills and my trusts and all my documents. I lay out in front of them what I've done in terms of my insurance and investment planning, and I let them know, listen, what I'm recommending you do is no more than what I'm doing for myself. My concern is that you as a parent are properly planning for this child who is ultimately going to be relying on you and the planning that you've done in the future.
We're speaking with Steve Ahrens from Northwestern Mutual, and Steve has an expertise in helping families with special needs plan for the future. And we're going to continue with Steve, but we got to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Littman Crooks, based in White Plains, New York City, and our new office in Dutchess County, right in Fishkill by Route 84. Our guest this week is Steve Ahrens from Northwestern Mutual, and Steve's been involved in planning for special needs families for many, many years, and we've been discussing what you can do to help plan for the future. But Steve, what happens if there's an untimely death? Have you been involved in cases where you've sold the insurance and then someone passes away and you got to help the family on the back end? What happens?
Actually, just this past year, you and I were both involved in a case that we had met a family at a seminar, and I'm involved in doing many different seminars in the area at various different schools, parent support groups, and we had met a couple at a seminar and gone in there together and put together an entire plan. We laid out exactly what would happen in the worst case situation if, God forbid, the family, the parents were to die, and this past summer, the husband and wife were killed in an automobile accident, leaving behind two autistic boys. And we had done all the planning, and we had provided all the insurance, and these boys basically are provided for as their parents have previously desired, and everything is set for them exactly as if the parents were here overseeing it. And it was a very rewarding situation, and I've been involved with the guardian in terms of helping the transition for the children. I've been involved with the trustee in terms of administering the funds, and it was a very upsetting situation that such a young couple could have died. It's such a freak situation, but it's been very rewarding to me to at least know that these two autistic children will be cared for exactly as their parents had wished.
I mean, you were able to deliver a sizable check, which is going to help take care of these kids for the rest of their life, right?
Yes, the children are set for the rest of their lives.
So let's talk about some other things that you mentioned, a couple other terms that people need to be concerned about, like a guardian. How do people select who's going to watch their kids?
Well, this is a difficult question because in many cases the kid has some very special needs and requires a little bit more care than a typical kid. So it's important that that you ask first someone who you think would be a guardian whether or not they would be interested in being the guardian if something should happen to you. You don't want to surprise this upon them at some point in the future when you are no longer here. And, of course, it also helps to let them know that there will be adequate funds available to support that child. I think that really is a critical part of the overall equation. If, of course, they know that the money will be there, then really it's just a question of providing care, but not necessarily financial support. But many people grapple with this decision, and I would tell you that it's important that you make this decision and not just be left to a court or a judge or different family members fighting or not being interested in taking care of this child and this child being a ward of the court. So clearly it's a tough decision, but it's one that has to be made.
And a lot of times the person who is making the decisions or the guardian for the children is not necessarily the one who's got the financial savvy.
Absolutely. I mean, the guardian of the child should really be the person who can provide the most love and care and do a good job in terms of advocating for this child. There's many different issues with these special needs child, and there's many things to fight for in terms of benefits and programs that might be out there. But in many cases, the trustee or the person in charge of the assets will be a different person, somebody who's more financially savvy. And in many cases, families might elect to use a bank or an insurance company or some type of professional organization to actually handle the money inside these various trusts which may have been set up.
How do you feel about families using a corporate trustee?
I personally think it's best to use a trustee who is someone that you know and trust. It's called a trustee because it's someone you trust. And I always worry that if it's a corporate trustee, a bank, or an insurance company, the person that you meet and you sign up as the trustee for that trust may be a wonderful, caring guy, but in 10 or 15 years, chances are he'll be gone. And who knows who will be there. I'd rather designate a family member or a friend and also have the ability as life goes on to change these varying trustees to somebody who I think is appropriate. My daughter, Elizabeth, I have a trustee who is actually my two brother-in-laws, but I eventually see changing the trustees to either her sister or her cousins or someone her age in the family who is financially savvy.
And, you know, this person has a lot of responsibility, has to invest the money properly, and I think also has to get along with the guardian, right?
Should get along with the guardian, doesn't necessarily have to invest the money properly, only has to find someone who can invest the money properly. And there's many financial advisors, many insurance and investment companies that are available that can provide management of monies. This is one of the things that I do as well. I can help people manage their monies, not only provide them with insurance. So a trustee really just has to be smart enough to find somebody who he thinks can do a good job managing money.
So all of these components of the plan have to be coordinated and integrated.
Absolutely.
And that's part of what you do.
Part of what I do, try to get people to fill the appropriate box with the appropriate person.
I'm Bernie Crooks from Littman Crooks, and I'm speaking with Steve Evans from Northwestern Mutual. I'm from the law firm Littman Crooks, and you can find out more about us at www.littmancrooks.com. And after we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation with Steve Evans. Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Our guest this week is Steve Evans from Northwestern Mutual. And Steve and I have been discussing about creating a plan and making sure all the component parts work together. Is this something that people out there can go on the internet and find some forms and do themselves?
They might be able to do it, but I certainly would not recommend that.
It'll be cheaper, no?
Well, it might be cheaper in the short run, but in the long run, they could be making terrible mistakes that could cost their children a significant amount of their wealth.
What kind of mistakes can they make? Can they cost them health care, access to health care? Tell me some of the things they can do wrong.
Well, what they can do wrong is they can give their children assets that are not that should have gone to them in what we're calling a supplemental needs trust. Now, let me just take a little minute here and tell you about a supplemental needs trust. A supplemental needs trust is a vehicle which will accept money for the benefit of your special needs child. Now, many of our children are going to be eligible to receive governmental benefits. We don't know what those benefits are going to be like in the future. Today, there might be Social Security benefits, there might be SSI, supplemental income, there might be Medicaid, but there are many benefits that may be available for them in the future. If our children have any assets at all, they may be disqualified from receiving those benefits. On the other hand, if we've drafted a trust or given them monies and they get benefits, these benefit providers could ultimately turn around and grab the assets that our children have. So a supplemental needs trust is a way to protect assets which are for the benefit of our children, yet not disqualify them from any benefit programs that are out there.
So let me ask you, if I've got my lawyer who did our house closing in 1969, I'm sure I'd just call him up and he can take care of this, right?
I don't think that he can. The special needs laws are changing all the time, and a special needs trust, or a supplemental needs trust, as it's called in the state of New York, has to be drafted exactly per the statute that is in the New York state law. If it is not drafted correctly, it's possible that Medicaid could bust that trust and go after the monies that are in that trust. So it's got to be done by the book exactly right, or the monies in there are at potential risk. The other thing I would just say about leaving monies to our children is that it protects these assets against potential predators out there. You know, our children, when they're older, still, they may look like adults, but they may in fact be children in terms of their mental situation and may not have any ability at all to handle monies. If they had monies outright, there are people out there who will be preying on them because they know they have assets and they will be looking to steal those assets from them. So monies that are going into a trust are also heavily protected in terms of ability to access. And I think that's a critical point that many people forget about.
You're making a good point or a good case for having a trust in any event, even if the kid doesn't have special needs.
Absolutely.
And the special needs, the supplemental needs trust is just one type of trust that has to have specific provisions. Otherwise, it's not going to work, right?
Exactly.
And that's why you need to go to a specialist.
Absolutely, yes. But trusts generally are a good way to leave money to our children. You know, how would you like to leave money to your child, a significant amount of assets, your child is married, then all of a sudden your child gets divorced, and the ex-husband or the ex-spouse then goes and tries to collect half the money that was left for the benefit of your child. So one of the things that a trust can really do is it can protect assets. And when I do estate planning with families, a lot of time they don't realize that there is this risk that this inheritance that they're leaving behind could in fact end up with the ex-spouse.
I bet that motivates them to do a trust.
Absolutely. As soon as I tell them that, they say, I never thought of that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Of course, we're living in a society where the divorce rate is in excess 50%. Of 50%.
Right.
And that's a tough statistic to argue against. So to leave money outright for all these reasons, special needs, supplemental needs, trust, creditors, divorce.
Or even in a typical situation. It's just a bad idea.
Just a bad idea. So that's part of the comprehensive estate plan.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's just spend a few minutes, Steve, if we can, on, you know, how do you meet people in this area? How do you network? What types of community services are you doing? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I do a lot of lectures at varying different parent support groups in the area. I speak at many different colleges. I speak at just all types of different special needs schools. I'm involved in varying different school systems and talking to the special needs departments. I'm involved with Special Olympics, do a lot with them. Great organization, terrific way for our children to get involved with sports. If you Google my name on the web, you'll find all kinds of places I've been, articles I've written, and future engagements that I'm involved with. So I'm out there working at resource fairs I typically attend. I try to get involved wherever I see that people who have children with special needs are going to be.
And do you find that the network is very incestuous, that once you get involved with one or two families, they refer their friends?
The interesting thing, yes, that's very true. But the other thing I find is I've put together a list of professionals that I recommend my clients go to. And in many cases, when I sit with them and talk to them about these professionals, I find they're already using the professionals that are on my list. So I find it's a small little world in terms of the professionals out there who are working with families with special needs children.
You know, I was speaking to someone the other day, and they said one of the most valuable resources they have is something called the Mommy Network.
Right.
Where you talk to a mother of a kid with special needs, and you can find out a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff, absolutely.
Including what lawyer to use, what insurance professional.
Right, right.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. Our guest this evening is Steve Ahrens of Northwestern Mutual, and we'll finish up right after this short break. Welcome back. I'm Bernie Crooks, and our guest this evening is Steve Ahrens of Northwestern Mutual. And Steve, we just got about a minute left. Give us some of your closing thoughts.
I think it's very important that people take action, and they take action now. There are some very simple things that can be done by working with a professional such as myself or professional such as you, Bernie, people who work in the area of special needs planning. We can help you. We can make it easy for you. You can take some action. It's never too late, no matter how old you are. And that action that you take, whether it be drafting your wills, your guardianship, putting together some trust, doing some financial planning, putting some insurance in place, by putting a plan together, it will create a tremendous peace of mind and will be one less thing that you have to worry about. Do it. It'll really make a big difference in the way you feel about yourself and the way you feel about your children.
And is it ever too late to do it?
It's never too late.
And if people want to do it now, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can call me at 203-256-2162. Again, that's 203-256-2162. They can go to my website, which is www.nmfn.com, / and then my name, Stephen Ahrens, and that's Ehrens, Stephen, Stephen, Ehrens, or they can just Google my name, and my website will pop up along with many other articles and things that I've done.
Steve, I want to thank you for your time and being our guest this evening.
Bernie, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
I'm Bernie Crooks, and we'll see everyone next week. Good night.